The J Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell and it's great to be back with you for the 2018 J League season. Whether you're listening via our new home on Podbean, where you can find us at jtalkpod.podbean.com, or via our resurrected iTunes feed, search the J Talk Podcast to subscribe. It's great to have you with us. I posted a brief teaser on both platforms announcing the podcast's return last month. And in this, our first full episode of the new season, we're back to preview the 2018 J2 season. We'd hoped to do so with both halves of our dynamic duo, but unfortunately, Stuart Smith has fallen ill today, the day we were to record, which is an inauspicious start to the return of the podcast. But I'm pleased to say that John Steele is here and he's back fit and firing. John, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Hello. Yes, very well, thanks. And just before we go any further, number one, I think I can speak for everyone in the sort of J League community when I say we were gutted that the podcast had to take a break. And it's really good to hear you back again and ready to go. And just point number two, yeah, get well soon, Stuart. It's never good to hear a fellow J League nerd struck down just before a new season. So I hope you get well soon.
Indeed. Well, at least he's 2 weeks out, John. So he's probably got a little bit of time to recover before things really get going on the weekend of the 24th and the 25th.
Yeah, that's true. But age, you know, as you age, these injuries do take a bit longer to heal up, so I hope he should just about make it. I think he's just about in the... Yeah, I think you're right, he'll be fine.
Yes, a two-week window, we reckon you'll make it, Stuart. So, yes, I echo John's sentiment there. Get well soon. And, yeah, thanks, John, for your first point there. It was obviously difficult to step away for the full year. I missed it early doors, but... yeah, as I mentioned in the teaser, as FC Tokyo season petered out, I happened to miss it less and less as time went on. But yes, I'm fairly out of the loop, I have to admit. So especially when it comes to J2, so couldn't have anyone better than yourself here to firstly round up the 2017 season. Obviously, we missed the entire season on the pod, so we want to get the listeners caught up, at least to, you know, give some context heading into the new year. So it won't be a surprise to anybody who missed out on the 2017 J2 season to know that Shonan Bellmare won the league again. They've become the yo-yo boys, but Chokui J certainly knows how to do the business when it comes to winning J2, John, and he did it again, and they're back up in J1 for 2018.
Yeah, I think when I discussed this with Stuart, we mentioned the fact that the last time Shonan won the J2 title, they did it in sort of stellar fashion, you know, sort of 100 points, 100 goals, and it wasn't quite that impressive last year. I think the division as a whole was a lot tighter, as we might come on to discuss later. But yeah, they were, I think, overall the best team. And yeah, good luck to them in the coming season in J1. I think it'll be difficult for them, as they found last time, that kind of open, sort of high pressing game is more difficult to maintain and get good results at the higher level. But yeah, they were the best team, I think, and just about deserved it in the end.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see whether the recent pattern of J2 champions doing well initially in J1 and then falling back to plummeting back to reality will happen again to Shonan, because the last time Shonan were promoted as J2 champions after that epic season where they almost didn't lose for the whole campaign, they went up to J1 and finished eighth and looked good doing it before, yes, getting relegated the season after. And then of course, yeah, we had the example of Omiya finishing fifth after winning J2 and then getting relegated last season. Sapporo were the 2016 J2 champions, and they finished 11th, which for them is a fantastic performance up in J1. So yes, what will happen to Shonan? It's going to be interesting. What will be even more interesting though, John, is how Vivar and Nagasaki will do. They to say they came out of nowhere is a massive understatement, but they ended up second and were good value for doing so. Firstly, yeah, talk about their campaign as a whole, but then, yeah, how do you think they'll get on up in the top flight for the first time ever?
Well, the first question, that how their campaign went, I think when they actually got into J2 in the first place, you know, that there was a big splash with their kind of chairman saying things like, oh, we're not satisfied with being in J2, we want to get to J1, we want to get to the Asian Champions League. And I think people scoffed at that at the time, myself included, because it seemed like a bit of a while, you know, we're sort of used to people being a bit more cautious and saying things like, you know, every time a player is interviewed after a game, they say, I'm just thinking about the next game, just going to take it one game at a time. So it's kind of, in Japan especially, which is a generally speaking, a sort of humble society, for want of a better word, it's I think, a lot, sort of put some people's noses out of joint to hear the chairman talk like that. But he's probably got quite a smug grin on his face now that they're preparing for life in J1 this season. It was an interesting campaign for a number of reasons, not least which is early on, I think they had some well-documented financial trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed a big sort of helping hand from their main sponsor, which is JapanNet, to actually dig in and kind of make sure that there was enough money to make sure everybody was paid on time on at least one occasion. So against that backdrop, you're kind of expecting anything. As long as they can avoid relegation, it's probably a reasonable season. So for them to kind of turn that sort of negativity into a sort of collective spirit and get promoted was a fantastic achievement. And I think you've got to give some the main credit's got to go to the coach, to Takuya Takagi, who's you know, kind of got Nagasaki in and around the playoffs for a number of years without them ever making it up to J1. But then they didn't even need the playoffs this time. They just went straight through in second place. So, yeah, fantastic season for them. They're going to have a difficult time in J1 because they perhaps don't have the experience of being at that level, but I think it doesn't necessarily have to be a negative. There'll be a lot more buzz and bigger crowds at the stadium. I've read things like there's going to be a special train that stops closer to the stadium on match days, or perhaps it's more trains, but some kind of sort of integrated infrastructure, which is often lacking in J2, seems to be working. And maybe JapanNet, it's an online shopping service, been selling the season tickets online, things like that. So they might be progressive in more ways than one. I hope that kind of off the pitch organisation translates to some good results, but I give them a fighting chance. I don't think they're going to be adrift at the bottom or anything like that, so we'll have to see if they can get enough points to stay up.
Indeed, I mean, in recent J2 promotion history, obviously we have stories of minnows going up through the playoffs and then struggling and being relegated straight back to J2. There aren't too many examples of teams, unfancy teams, getting promoted automatically and then seeing how they get on. So it will be a very, very interesting case study indeed in Nagasaki. But yes, they do deserve all the credit in the world for, firstly for holding off some what you would consider to be, you know, more qualified candidates for promotion, obviously, the likes of Nagoya and Fukuoka, who have spent time in J1 in recent years, and Nagoya, and obviously an extensive period of time in the top flight. Their first ever J2 campaign ended in promotion through the playoffs, which we'll come back to in a minute. But yeah, I mean, a massive achievement for Nagasaki after a bit of a yo-yo in the previous two seasons, John. Of course, they'd finished sixth in 2015, but then slumped all the way down to 15th the following season. So not in the playoff frame at all, really. If we had have done a J2 season preview podcast last year, I'm sure, you know, one of us might have mentioned them as a potential outsider just from what they'd done in 2015. But yeah, they were pretty much an afterthought in the 2016 season. So to do what they did and rise all the way to second is simply phenomenal. And, you know, as we've said so many times over the years on J-Talk, I mean, the J-League is it's all about momentum, isn't it, really? And if you get on a wave of good form, then it can carry you just about as far as you can go. And that seems to be the case for Nagasaki And, yeah, in their first time swimming with the big boys in J1, it's obviously going to be a vastly different experience for the players. But, yeah, we'll wait and see. And as you say, Takuya Takagi deserves all the credit in the world for the job that he's done. And, yes, we will wait and see how Vivarin do up with the big boys.
Yeah, I think it's also worth mentioning just another Kyushu team doing well and getting into J1. I think you can say Kyushu is in sort of Kanto, Tokyo area might have the greatest concentration of teams, but in terms of overachievement, it's probably Kyushu that's sort of killing it at the moment. So yeah, well done to all involved, I think.
Absolutely. So they are the two teams that went up automatically. We'll move on next to talk about the frankly, amazing scrap for playoff positions. It was, you could throw a blanket over 10 or 12 teams for pretty much the entire season. And obviously Nagoya, Fukuoka, Tokyo Verde and Chiba finally got there, John. But some very, very late drama, obviously, with Verde and Chiba nicking those final two spots. We don't want to rehash the whole season, obviously, but yeah, there was obviously after Nagoya and Fukuoka had wrapped up their two spots, and they were still jockeying for position, obviously, right up until the final day of the season. Yeah, there was still so much to play for as the season wound down the last two or three weeks, wasn't there, with so many teams still in touch.
Yeah, I think it became sort of obvious that Shonan, Nagasaki, Nagoya and Fukuoka were going to be their sort of top four in some kind of order. They did seem to just be a cut above the rest of the pack. But as you say, the last two playoff places, it was you could throw a blanket over so many teams to see who could get involved. And even teams that before the season started maybe you wouldn't have given much chance, like Oita, they only finished 4 points away in the end, or Yamagata, 5 points off top six place. So yeah, it really could have been. I mean, Verde and Jeff snatched fifth and sixth, but it was incredible that Tokushima didn't get one of the playoff places, because they were pretty much in the top six from March onwards. So they kind of had a bad run in and fell away in it. Matsumoto, Yamaga not being in the playoff shape-up was a bit of a surprise, I think. To me, certainly, maybe a few other watches as well. So yeah, it was very exciting, and I think it's one of those things that we have to consider when people talk about the merits or demerits of having the playoffs. And as a purist, you might say, well, the top three teams should be automatically promoted, but then you've got a 22 team league, and I think fans need a bit more excitement, a bit more to aim for than just those top three places. Having a chance of promotion, even if you go down to six, just makes it makes for some great drama, not just in the playoffs themselves, but the actual the scrum to get one of those four places. So yeah, I think it was a good. Not sure the quality of the games or the teams was the highest, but definitely that kind of excitement of not knowing from week to week what the situation was going to be. I think that was a good advertisement for the league in terms of excitement, if not in terms of maybe quality at times.
Absolutely. So yes, at the end of the day, it was the teams who finished third and fourth, Nagoya and Fukuoka, squaring off in the playoff final, and Nagoya earned their ticket back straight back to J1 after a 0-0 draw in the playoff final. Obviously, that's a quirk of the system that the J-League's initiated, that if the game ends in a draw, then the highest placed team goes up. And that's worked in Fukuoka's favour in the past. Obviously, they were promoted over Cerezo Osaka in the same situation with a draw in the playoff final, so they won't be crying over that at all. A very peculiar season for Nagoya, very Gumba-esque, if you like, John. They were the top scorers in the league by a mile, but only five teams had a worse goals against number than their 65, so there was obviously all action. There were some big scores. Was there at least one 7-4? Was there a 6-2 or something? There were all kinds of ice hockey scores in there, but yes, they finally took their place back at the the top table, John, but they'll do so without their top scorer, Robin Simovic, who has taken his 18 goals off to Omiya with him.
Yeah, I think that was a surprise move and a real coup for Omiya to get him, although we'll perhaps come on to discuss Omiya and the, sort of the new season later. But yeah, for Nagoya, you've summed it up pretty well in terms of goal scoring. They once the season started, it was pretty clear that they had a J1 quality sort of front five or six, and most teams couldn't live with them, especially when they went away to Mizuho or Toyota. But yeah, the defending was a real concern, and it was kind of like watching sort of Ramos era FC Gifu. the back half of the pitch, or possibly even the current Gifu, but I won't pick Stuart when he's down. So, but yeah, I think just in terms of the season coming up, they've got to address the problems that they have in the defence. There was an interesting kind of Twitter debate between Gifu Richie and Alan Gibson from J Soccer Magazine, where they were discussing the fact that Nagoya are shipping a lot of goals in pre-season at the moment. And there's kind of, on the one hand, you can say, well, pre-season games are about getting fit and sharp, and it doesn't matter what the score is. But on the reverse side of that, if you're letting in goals left, right, and centre, I don't think that bodes well either. So it'll be interesting to see if those pre-season results where they've let in a similar amount of goals, whether that's reflected in J1 when it gets going. If they can't shore up the defence, they might find themselves repeating the curse of the other teams that have won the playoffs in J2, which is to be relegated straight back the following year. So we'll have to see.
Yes, indeed. With the exception of course, of Cerezo Osaka
last year,
who confounded everybody by finishing third and winning the cup double. Well, not everybody, actually. I think I actually tipped them to finish fourth last year, so I actually sold them a little bit short. I didn't think they were going to win their first two trophies ever in the top flight, but there you go.
Let's amend that to the all the teams that won the playoffs without having lots and lots of money.
Well, there you go.
And from Myanmar, yeah.
Indeed. All right, so that's the three teams that have gone up, and obviously they'll be covered in our J1 season preview as well, which will be coming up, obviously, before the new campaign gets going. And, yes, so obviously we feel for Fukuoka, Tokyo Verde and Chiba, who were unsuccessful in the playoffs. And yes, as John mentioned, Tokushima and Matsumoto, who just missed out, along with a few other teams who made the race for the top six so exciting last year. And we've mentioned Simovic going off to Omiya. I should have mentioned at the top of the show, of course, that Steve Balm, one of our favourite guests throughout the history of J-Talk, will be joining us later on to talk about Omiya and indeed the other two teams relegated from J1 last season, Kofu and Niigata. So we'll be splitting my chat with Steve into the podcast in just a bit once we're finished wrapping up 2017 with John. John, I wanted to get your thoughts on Gunma. There's certainly not a lot you can say about their 2017 season that is positive. Maybe they just need to refresh down in the third tier and bounce straight back. We don't know. Of course, we all expected Kitakyushu to do just that last season, but that never happened, did it, for Gid Advance? But that's another story for another day. A brief word on Gunma, commiserating with their unfortunate supporters, I suppose.
It's a shame for the fans. I always enjoy seeing the girls with the onsen washboards dancing away at the front of the stand. Sometimes the league table, I mean, I think people tune in because they want analysis that they can't get just from looking at the league table, but the league table from last year tells you everything you need to know about what went wrong at the Gunma, everything. It'll be interesting to see how they do in J3 this year. They had loads of players go out, loads of players come in. I'm just looking at their kind of page and the sort of players guide of this year's Mapan, while we're talking so many young players and a new coach, Keichiro Nuno, doesn't have any previous experience as a number one, I don't think. So it's almost a completely new side, I think, So it'll be very interesting how they do. But I think the idea probably is getting rid of sort of higher earning players who let the team down badly last year and change the coach. It's almost like a fresh new start. They have Yuki Matsushita staying on in midfield. He's an experienced campaigner. Ryuichi Hideshige, well-known experienced forward, maybe to add some experience. But other than that, it's very much sort of young, quite a few young players. So we'll see. But yeah, the bottom place team, if that awful, has to be relegated. And I don't think there's any room for too much sympathy. They stunk the place out good and proper.
Indeed, indeed. All right then. Well, that's our look back at the 2017 J2 season. After a quick hit of music, you will hear my chat with Steve Baum on Omiya's unfortunate 2017 season, and a look ahead to 2018 for the Squirrels and also fellow relegated sides Niigata and Kofu. Next on J-Talk, to talk about the three teams relegated from J1 in 2017 and the team he supports in particular, Omiya Ardija. It's my great pleasure to welcome another of our favourite guests, Steve Baum, back to the pod. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Great to be speaking to you again. And yeah. I know you're a little under the weather and have been for a little while, but yeah, battling on a little bit stronger than Stuart, which is good to see.
Yeah, well, you know, he's Stuart, so.
Yes, yes. Well, literally afflicted today, so we all know how that feels, and yes, we don't want to pile on him too much. But
thoughts and prayers.
Indeed, indeed, yes. Yeah, sure, we'll be back brighter than ever very soon. You're obviously hoping that Omiya Ardija will be back brighter than ever in J1 in 12 months' time, Steve. But it was obviously a very difficult 2017 season after, the surprising heights the Squirrels hit in 2016. Of course, the best ever J1 finish of fifth. Well, we all wondered what Omiya would do for an encore, and unfortunately, what they did was finish bottom.
Yeah, that was pretty pretty amazing, bad amazing. I guess losing Ienaga and Izumi Sawa really really hurt the team, and they just didn't replace them well enough. You know, I think the departed Isaka really couldn't handle the pressure of being the main guy, like the star. I don't think that was a good role for him. He's off to Kashiwa now. Segawa's off to Kashiwa. There was a couple losses, but nothing too traumatic this year. So I like the off season that we had, to be honest.
All right, it sounds like you're trying to move on as swiftly as you can from 2017, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I could moan about it, but it was just awful. I mean, everything went wrong, you know, so.
Well, I mean, it's such a contrast. I mean, is it literally those two key attacking players, Izumi Sawa and Ienaga, leaving? Or was there any other turnover in the squad that was particularly noteworthy that you could point your finger to? Or was it just the impact going forward that you lost by losing those two players, the main reason you could point to?
Yeah, well, I think Ienaga, I mean, with Shibuya, his main plan was to go through Ienaga. I mean, everything was through Ienaga. So the team was built around the talents of Ienaga, and everything went through it. And they didn't have a natural replacement for that. They tried it with Isaka. He just isn't that type of player. I mean, he's a decent second striker, but he's not a guy who can focus. You can focus your offense around him. They had our friend Arya Jasaru Hasegawa, who was just the disaster. My favorite stat of that year was he played 920 some minutes in league play, and the team didn't score at all the entire time he was on the field. Yeah, so wow. I mean, that was like 10 full games. Mm-hmm. Like if they had just gone with 10 players, they might have done better.
Yeah.
I think they actually did do better with 10 players. I think they actually scored once. None of the pickups really worked. Genki Omai was injured off and on through the season. He was out of shape. And Sagawa was injured. I mean, he looked like a bright spot, but he was injured a lot. Akeem Burata was pretty bad. Everything kind of fell apart. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a contrast. It was stunning, wasn't it? I mean, we obviously do have recent history of teams, peaking one year and getting relegated the next. And obviously the stats make painful listening for you, Steve. You obviously lost your first six and seven of the first eight and spent the entire season, except just one week after match day 16, in the relegation zone. So, yeah, the writing was on the wall from the start. I guess we, in 2016, we're all kind of expecting Omiya to slide down the table once you're up so high. I guess in the 2017 season, despite getting off to such a bad start, I guess we had 2016's result in our mind. So we're probably waiting for Omiya to, correct to the mean somewhat and get up towards, 13th, 14th, where you were, no offense intended, but used to finishing in your regular spot in J1 for so many seasons. But yes, it just wasn't to be. And yes, you find yourself back in J2. Sorry.
Yeah. There was that first game in the second half of the season against Sapporo when we were up 2-0, and they just fell apart in the last 10 minutes and ended up drawing with them. If they had won that match, I think they would have stayed up.
Right.
And I think Sapporo would have gone down, because Sapporo would have dropped into the relegation zone and Omiya would have jumped up. And I think it was that confidence, because the team was kind of starting to get out of it. They had the big win against Hiroshima and Albrecht in the back-to-backs. If they had won that one, they could have gone slower with Kawe and Marcelo Toscano instead of just throwing them into the lineup right away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different things would have happened. I mean, that's the point where I think we just lost it all together. And it just looked like after that, the team just kind of decided, oh, well, you know what, it's just not our year.
Yes, obviously a humiliating final day. You obviously knew you were down, of course, but yes, the 5-0 thrashing at Kawasaki that saw Frontale.
Yeah.
Well, let me get through it, mate, and then we can move on. That saw Kawasaki crowned J1 champions for the first time ever. So, back in J2 after 2 years in J1, Steve. Of course, the last time you were relegated, after the 2014 season, you finished as the J2 champions in 2015, building up a huge Shonan-esque lead, but then holding off late surges from Iwata and Fukuoka to claim the J2 championship in 2015. What can you tell us about the off season? You've been to watch the side today, Sunday, play a pre-season friendly. So what did you glean from that? And the off season in general, as you begin to launch another campaign for promotion, hopefully.
Yeah, it's hard to judge off of today's match. It seemed like it was just more an introduction of guys who have never played for Omiya. So there were six of the new players in, and then Kim as well, who'd never played in a match for Omiya besides the training matches. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like that's not going to be the starting 11 in 2 weeks. I guess what I got from it was I can't believe we got Simovic. He looks very, very good. Because I didn't know that much about him. I mean, I was excited. I looked at his goal tallies, and it seemed like he was a good scorer. But he can do a lot more. I mean, he's got really nice touch, and he helps. He was helping Omai with some chances, and he has just really good passing skills. I don't know why he's in J2. I don't know why a lot of these teams didn't try and go after him, to be honest. I don't know why Nagoya gave up on him. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm glad that they gave up on him,
sure.
And I'm glad we got him. I think in J2, if you have like one of those big big strikers who can score, you have a big advantage. It seems like teams that get promoted have one good post player, and it looks like he's already got a good relationship going with Ginky Omai, because they look really good together today. So that was something that we didn't see at all last year. So that's going to be something. We picked up Mikado from Avispa Fukuoka, which he looks like a really good organizer in the midfield. That's another thing we were lacking. It didn't seem like there was any plan last year in the midfield. It seemed like it was just kick the ball. It was panic football, I guess. But he looks like a guy who really has an idea of what he wants to do in the midfield, and he can boss it there. So that's another good pickup. We got a young kid, Shimada, who kind of reminds me of Izumi Sawa. I mean, he's got the good dribbling. He's still just 22, so he's the same age as Izumi Sawa was when he started with Omiya.
Right.
He's been a pro for 4 years, so he's got a little bit of an advantage. He was a little nervous starting out, but you can see there's something there with him. He's got a good spark. He's a dribbler on the right side that we've been missing since Izumi Sawa left. So that's another good pickup, I think. We got the kid Sakai from Albirex. I think he's going to be the one that I hate this year, to be honest.
Right.
Because there's always one that I just can't stand, and today it was kind of him. So I kind of think I'm going to see a lot of him this year, and I'm not going to be that happy. But they got to have one guy on the field that pisses me off. So,
that's right. By the law of averages, yes, they just about always will, won't they? What about the coach, Steve? Masatada Ishii, of course, famously of Kashima Antlers, replaced Akira Ito with just 3 weeks of last season remaining. He's stayed with the club throughout the off-season and will be guiding the ship in 2018. What's your perception of the way he's taken to his work with the Squirrels, and how confident are you in him leading you back up to the promised land, if you like?
He's got a good pedigree. I mean, to win all those championships and take Real Madrid to extra time in a final—that's something.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to handle a team with less talent than a Kashima. It seems like most managers go there and win. It was hard to judge him off of those last three matches because it seemed like the team was done. So,
oh,
I mean,
sure.
It was kind of hard to get a real sense. I mean, a lot of those guys who were playing in the last couple of games seemed like they already had their sights set on other destinations.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, it's going to take... I think it'll take 8 to 10 matches to judge how he's doing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with J2. It's such a marathon, isn't it? That you can definitely time your run be patient at the start of the campaign. As long as the supporters don't get too antsy if results don't start as they'd like. But, yes, I'm sure there'll be some patience for amongst the fan base with Ishii and making sure that he gets his message across. And the players executing it to his satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean he's an old boy too. I mean he played for NTT Kanto or Omiya. I don't know if it was NTT Kanto or Omiya that he played for, but I mean he played a couple years for the NTT club.
Oh, I see.
I guess.
Okay.
He has some roots there. So it's not like Okuma, who came in a couple years ago. Who had like a reputation from FC Tokyo, and came in and just had no history with the club. I think he'll have a little bit more leeway to do this, and I think there's some nuts in the stands, but I think most people realize that we were horrible last year, so I think there's going to be a little bit of patience.
Sure.
With that, I mean. Mid-season, if we're 11th or 12th, I that's going to be a problem. But I think early on, I think he has a little bit of leeway, you know.
All right, Dad. I'd like to get your thoughts on the two teams that went down with Ormia, Steve, if we could briefly. Obviously, most of the listeners will know that Vemfore Kofu and Albert X Niigata were the other two sides who were relegated to J2, both having decent runs in J1 come to an end. Kofu for a five-year stretch, while Niigata have ended a 14-year run in the top flight. So that is a very significant moment in the history of their club, of course. And both sides have had near escapes over the years, Steve. But, yes, their luck finally ran out, and it just happened for both of them in the same season.
Kofu, you know, I mean, everybody kind of expected them to go down. They seemed like everybody's favorite pick.
Well, other than Sapporo, yeah, obviously, Sapporo surprised so many people, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, I mean, they did the best with what they had, you know. They're a team, they seem like a pretty good J2 team. They seem pretty successful there. Their off season was a little odd, because they got rid of Dudu, who was a pretty good scorer for him, and they brought in a Jene from a Shonan Bellmore.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, I think they loaned Dudu out to a Vispa Fukuoka, which seemed kind of odd to me.
Yes, because strengthening a promotion rival, yeah.
And I think he's a better player than Jene, to be honest. Mm. So I don't know what really the thought was there. I think Janae's a bigger player, and maybe that was it. Maybe they were missing. Maybe they thought that, like, with Linz, who's joined mid-season with them, I think maybe they thought that him and Dudu were doing the same thing.
Right.
And maybe it's just something different, but I can't really understand what they were thinking on that. They're going to be strong defensively. I mean, they're pretty well organized usually. So I expect that to continue. They're not going to be the most exciting team, but they'll grind it out. So, I mean, I could see them doing that. I'm wondering how they're going to be affected by Levain Cup. I mean, that's something that they're going to have to deal with this year, too.
Yes, both Kofu and Niigata taking part in the group stages in the revamped slightly and horribly, in my opinion, Levain Cup. You're right to raise it there because, Kofu and Niigata already have to play 42 league games. And then, you throw in six group stage games in the League Cup as well. And it makes their workload frankly ridiculous, and it puts them at a distinct disadvantage, even though we know that most J1 clubs field a lot of second stringers in the Levain Cup, just for the simple fact of having to put out a team at all for both Kofu and Niigata will be a major inconvenience, I would say.
And neither team are especially deep, I mean, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've just been relegated, so you wouldn't expect them to be. Yeah. All right, yes, but enough of the League Cup for now. Onto your thoughts on Niigata, Steve, and their off season and how they're shaping up for a first stint in a long time back in J2.
Yeah, they lost a lot of talent. They didn't have a lot of talent, but they lost some key players.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new Brazilian, Thales, who I know nothing about. They signed a Brazilian goalkeeper, who I know nothing about. But they always seem to kind of hit on those, you know? I mean, they always seem to bring in, like, a Brazilian player that's really, really good.
Their scouting network is about second to none, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they lost, what was his name, Ronnie?
Yeah.
I guess? Yeah. I mean, he seems like a big loss, but, you can go back. I mean, they lost Leo Silva, they lost Rafael Silva, they lost Marcio Richardes.
Yep.
They always seem to, like, fill these holes, so I wouldn't sleep on those guys. They picked up Takagi from Tokyo Verity, which seemed like a good pickup, but I don't know who he's playing with. It seems like a bunch of old Nagoya Grampus guys are going to take the field with him. So
right.
I think it's going to be tough. The only other guy that was a real big pickup for him was Yasuda, who came back from Korea, I think.
Well, he was at Nagoya, and then did he take off again? I'm not sure, but yeah. Yeah, sounds fairly uninspiring, but...
I mean, who knows? I mean, they could surprise.
Indeed. I mean, you've got to be glad that, obviously, that Shonan got promoted, but obviously Nagoya as well, because they were the other big fish in the J2 pond last season, and they're back up, of course, after going through in the playoffs. So, yeah, how confident are you of at least a playoff place? I mean, recent history, yeah, the records are pretty strong for relegated teams back in J2. Steve, of course, you know well and truly in 2015 with Omiya finishing first and Cerezo fourth in the same season after relegation. In 2016, Matsumoto and Shimizu both finished in the top three. Of course, Shimizu were promoted automatically. Matsumoto, unfortunate not to go straight back up through the playoffs. And then, yes, last season, all three relegated teams finished in the top four. Shonan J2 champions at Nagoya third and Fukuoka fourth. Those two met in the playoff final, and Nagoya were promoted, as I mentioned earlier. So you're probably not really up to speed with the rest of the division and the strong teams in it yet. I'm sure you'll be researching that over the coming weeks and the early weeks of the season. But how do you feel about the promotion champions chances of the three relegated teams as we sit 2 weeks before the season begins?
I think central defense is going to be the big key. I mean, if that's solid, then I think there's going to be no problems for Omiya. If it's leaky, that's going to be a problem. I think there's enough talent there to win the league, but it's just the central defense kind of has me worried a bit. I mean, that's the one thing. Injuries, of course, but it doesn't seem like there's any real excuse to not get promoted. And if that's me sounding like I'm overconfident, well,
no, fair enough. Well, this is the time for it.
So, I mean,
indeed. So what about the other two then? We've just spoken briefly about their off seasons. Their prospects. Would you expect them to both be knocking on the door of the top six?
Yeah, we'll see how they handle the Vane Cup. I think of the two, Kofu's more likely. I think they have the better talent, which is kind of rare to say with Kofu. After all the years of them not having much in the way of J1 talent.
Sure.
But they're a tweener team. I mean, they're like Fukuoka and maybe Matsumoto. I mean, it seems like they're kind of there. It's their kind, and Shonan, they're kind of stuck between J1 and J2.
Right.
You know, there's a couple teams like that. I always think there's kind of an advantage to dropping down to J2 from J1 because J1's a faster game.
Mm.
So when you start that early, I mean, if you have a lot of players who are in J1, they're going to play faster, and that's an advantage early on. So I think Niigata pretty much wiped out their roster, but Kofu stayed pretty much intact, and Omiya stayed pretty much intact. So I think that early on, that speed is going to help them. So I think that's an advantage.
All right, then. So confident about Omiya, and it sounds like Kofu the better placed of the other two relegation teams to maybe push for automatic promotion or at least a spot in the top six. All right, Steve, well, thank you very much. It's been great to speak to you again in this this first episode of J Talk for 2018. I certainly look forward to catching up again and checking in on the Squirrels as they go about getting promoted back to J1 again at the first attempt.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so we're back with John, and thanks very much again to Steve for his insight on the Squirrels and indeed Vanforay and Albert X. Where are you at with those three teams, John, as they prepare for a season back in J2?
Yeah, I have to be honest. As you mentioned with Steve, he was sort of not sure whether Corfu or Niigata had a better chance of bouncing straight back. I'm the same, but I actually don't. I'm not very inspired by either squad. Just going through the names, and I actually think it's going to be an interesting season because I don't think Corfu or Niigata is going to necessarily be in the top two. I think they might be hard pressed to. Maybe they'll get into the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to blow anybody away with the players that they've assembled. Corfu don't have a very inspiring squad. Tatsumi Yoshida, I don't find a very inspiring coach, and I don't think I'll be hurting anybody if I say they don't play particularly inspiring football either. The players that have come in, Gine, the Brazilian forward coming from Shonan, he's a proven J2 goal scorer, so I think he might do well. Lins, as well, was there last year, scored a few goals when he was at Gamba Osaka, but is not reliable. Too many goals, and I think they might perhaps form a partnership, I suppose. And Niigata, they have a new coach, Masakazu Suzuki. I think he's an interesting choice because he's got a good record from his time at Jubilo Iwata, but that was from 2000 to 2004, and I don't think he's actually been the number one anywhere since then. And again, as Steve mentioned, they've had 17 players go out. It's very difficult to know what kind of squad's actually going to line up for the first round of games at the end of this month. I also noticed they've got a new goalkeeper, but he'll be familiar to J-League fans, I think. Alex Muralha, Brazilian goalkeeper. He was last in the J-League with Shonan as Alex Santana.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh no! Well, see, Steve and I didn't realise. So, Steve said he'd never heard of the guy, but yeah, obviously we didn't realise that it was Santana.
Yeah, I think if you're Brazilian and you've had a spell in the J League and you're famous for having done badly, you've always got the option of coming back with a slightly different name. But you have to get up pretty early in the morning to fool me.
Goodness me, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Yeah, 2013 played at Shonan. Yeah, so it's the same guy.
Wow.
So and you might remember him for quite a few sort of goal mouth scrambles that have gone wrong. I'm not really sure if he's going to be the first choice, but he'll be a brave one if he is. So we'll see how that goes. But more positively, Omiya, and I don't think Steve won't thank me for saying this, but they're my pick. Probably to be champions this year. I don't think you can. There's no getting away from that. Masatada Ishii, he's a fantastic coach, a great record at Kashima Antlers. Probably still wondering how he actually got fired from that job. And in terms of players that they've lost and signed, like we mentioned with Tokyo Verde, you get relegated like they did. It's keeping your key players is as good as signing new ones. I think the only really key player they lost was Ataru Esaka, who's gone to Kashima Reysol. But in a weird way, they almost seem to have strengthened from last year because they got Robin Simovic, who's coming in from Nagoya. They got Taisuke Nakamura, the adventurous left back, played at Iwata last year, but formerly of Jeff. And Tomiyama, the forward that I think Steve likes and I quite like, has also been brought back from Sagan Tosu. So they might have been relegated from J1, but their squad almost looks in better shape than it did last year, if that makes sense. So I think you're going to have to. Teams are going to do very well to go to Omiya and get points this year. I can't see them being anything less than top three, top four.
All right then. So it sounds good for the Squirrels, and yeah, it's very much a wait and see with both Corfu and Niigata. But yeah, we would expect both of those to at least be in and around the top six come the shake-up at the end of the season. John, let's move on to talk about the teams who missed out in the playoffs last season. Fukuoka missed out in the playoff final after finishing fourth, and Chiba stole into sixth on the last day of the season last year, but were then swept aside by Nagoya in the playoffs semi-final, of course. They going to be able to stick fat in the playoff shake-up?
I might be biased. I've spent a lot of time in Fukuoka, and it's one of my favourite places in Japan, but I really fancy them to do well again this year. I mean, I think they might even go better than last season, maybe get automatic promotion. I really like the coach, Masami Ihara. I think he was good when he first came in, but he got better and better. The interesting thing about Fukuoka is, they finished fourth and almost got promoted for the playoffs, but they still shipped out 15 players. You know, it's almost as many as Niigata. So that's quite interesting. In terms of the new players, there's a Brazilian striker, Chulio. Not that one. this guy is a Brazilian who also has a French passport. Spent a lot of his career playing at clubs in France and pretty much anywhere that'll have him. So, you know, Wellington's obviously departed, so it's quite big shoes to fill in that context. A weird one is that they've also got another Brazilian, Dudu, who is on loan from Kofu. So I don't know what the deal is there. I mean, Kofu are aiming to get promoted, and he's a good player. You surely wouldn't loan him to a direct
Indeed, rival. mentioned with Steve, John. Yes, yeah. That was a particular head-scratcher, yeah. Wasn't it?
Things are, you know, these things, deals are done in mysterious ways. Perhaps the deal was agreed before Kofu got relegated, like that. I don't know. But they've also got another sort of familiar face, Takuki Morimoto, coming from Kawasaki. Not the greatest player in the world, but he's good for a few goals at the J2. And Yuin Su, the guy on loan from FC Tokyo, perhaps you can fill me in on him. I don't know much about him. I think he's from the under-23.
Yeah, dynamic forward, yeah. I mean, a big surprise to a lot of Tokyo supporters that he wasn't given more first-team opportunities. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he was... He electric at times. I mean, admittedly, in J3 for the under 23 teams, which I detest with a fiery passion. But indeed, I mean, you know, he's playing. He doesn't care what I think about it, obviously. And terrific forward. And if he's motivated, he could do anything for Fukuoka, to be honest. Yeah, I think he's a terrific player. Yeah. So a great signing by them. And somebody who could have definitely featured in the FC Tokyo first team this season. So, more power to you and good luck to him.
Yeah, I think that they're good signings. The signing that really caught my eye is Naoki Wako, the left back, who's been signed on a permanent deal from Kashiwa Reysol. Whenever I've watched him, I thought he's a great player and the kind of player I'd like to sign. If it was known that he was available for transfer, I can't understand why another J1 side wouldn't take him. So the fact that perhaps Masami Ihara has been able to pull off, in my opinion, something of a coup by getting him, I think that's a statement of intent for me. I mean, left back's not the sexiest position on the pitch, but then if you can attract players of that calibre, then you must be doing something right. So yeah, I really fancy Fukuoka this year. I think they'll do well.
Yeah, such a frustrating end to the season, though, wasn't it, John? I mean, they were top for 6 weeks. You know, they were second for 4 weeks late on, but then just winning one of their last four had cost them not only automatic promotion, but it cost them that home field advantage for the playoff final. And obviously Nagoya made that count at the end of the day. So I'm sure there won't be too much emotional baggage left from that. As you say, a lot of new signings coming in who will be motivated to perform and get Avispa back up to J1. So yeah, they do look the goods, and don't want to give anything away, but yes, they might be one of my automatic promotion picks as well. I haven't teased the predictions for the end of the podcast, but I hope you've got some ready, John, because the listeners will certainly be craving them.
Well, it was more difficult to make a fool out of myself last year because there wasn't a
preview.
Going to do it again.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. So what of Chiba then? To sneak into the playoffs was an achievement in itself, but now they've really got a kick on because they're turning into J2 lifers, and you know nobody wants that, do they?
Yeah, that's right. And I think I always seem to say the same thing every preseason with Jeff, and then I say the same things every postseason as well. So perhaps you could just go back to previous episodes to find out what I think. As usual, there are so many good forward players. The problem that the coach is going to have, Hannes Schneider, is just where to put them and how to fit the jigsaw together to get the best out of the forward players. And it's the same problems they're going to have are probably going to be at the back. So I took a close look at the players they've brought in is defensive reinforcements. I think Snyder's finally realised what I've been saying for a while, that Yuya Sato, the goalkeeper who's famous for sort of going walkabout and giving away two or three goals a month, probably, never mind a season. I think he might be on his way out. There's a new Argentine goalkeeper, Rodriguez, who's come in. They did try last year with a goalkeeper, Luis Ojeda, but he scored an own goal after about 30 seconds on his debut and never really recovered.
So, wow.
They've not been lucky with goalkeepers, but this gentleman, Rodriguez, is going to try. And then I don't know what they're going to do with the centre-backs. There's a Brazilian centre-back, Ebert, I think is the best pronunciation in English. He's come via Polonia Warsaw. Really interested to see how he does. He got injured in the pre-season training camp, so I haven't seen him yet. And they got Masushima, another centre-back, on loan from Kashua. I'm mentioning Kashua a lot today. I don't know why, but he's come in. So they've got a good amount of centre-backs. Left-back and right-back are probably where they might be vulnerable, because the first-choice right-back seems to be Masaki Yamamoto. He's a defensive midfielder by trade, so he's perhaps a little bit out of position, although he's a very good player and can probably cope. The left-back is Toshiya Takagi. He's actually the son of Takiya Takagi, the aforementioned Ibaru Nagasaki manager. He's come from Montpellier Yamagata. I watched the every year Jeff have a pre-season match against, mentioning them again, Kashua, Chiba Bangkok, and Toshiya Takagi had a really tough game. Looked a little bit out of his depth, so I'm a bit worried about him. In fairness, he was up against Junya Ito, who's one of the top wingers, I think, probably in Japan.
Absolutely,
at the
moment.
It's no shame in having a tough afternoon against him. But I think if I was playing against Jeff, the fullbacks would be where they're weak. But at the other end, I mean, players like Larry Bay, Fineyama, they've signed Chajima, who's come on loan from Hiroshima, which I think is a good get as well. So they're not going to have any trouble scoring goals, I don't think. But maybe at the other end is where they've got to be. Got to be more careful and just make sure they concentrate. They often struggle, just especially in their home games. They have most of the ball, and then they're an unreliable goalkeeper and some dodgy defending. They could often find themselves giving away goals stupidly. So we'll see. But as we mentioned, I think the relegated teams are a bit of a weak bunch this year. Omiya look good, but I don't think there's anything for Jeff to be worried about. Kofi and Niigata. So this could be golden chance to actually get back into J1 if they can get it right.
Goodness me, and wouldn't the yellow clad faithful go absolutely mental with that? In fact, they I'm not sure they could handle it after so long. The thought of Chiba getting relegated in the first place was so hard to fathom all those years ago, but now the prospect of getting promoted is almost as hard to think about. But yes, I'm sure it will happen at some stage, and let's hope it's this season. Although then they'd be lost to J2, John, and then what would you do with yourself?
Well, it's sort of Hobson's choice, isn't it? I have a lot of Jeff supporting fans at this point. I think they just need them to be back in J1, even if it's just for a season. Just because the stadium's J1 ready and all the rest of it. But I can remember going to watch Jeff in J1. Back in the day, but even now, you misremember things as you get older. Do you know what I mean? And I sometimes think, did I? I've got tickets in my house from J1 games at Fukudenshi. Like, did that really happen? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
So I could do with them getting back up just to prove that I'm not losing my marbles.
No, yeah. Fair enough then. All right, so let's run through the teams who finished or who filled out the top half of the table in 2017, as we work our way down and discuss various teams' playoff prospects for 2018. So, yeah, we mentioned that Tokushima and Matsumoto were very stiff to miss out on a playoff spot on the final day of the season. Now, Oita surprised many by finishing ninth and just 4 points outside the playoffs. I think you mentioned that earlier, John, after their promotion from J3. At the end of 2016. Then Yokohama FC had the Golden Boot winner in Iba. They finished a further point behind Oita, and then Yamagata rounded out the top half after improving three spots in the table from 14th to 11th. So you're free to discuss any or all of those teams in as much detail as you want, John. In particular, obviously, the teams you think are legitimate playoff contenders.
I just have a sentence or two probably about each. For Tokushima, I think they'll have to absorb the losses of Daiki Watari, important striker who's gone to Sanfrecce Hiroshima, but also Kazuaki Mawatari, the left-sided midfielder who was very important last year. He's also gone to Hiroshima, so probably some shrewd business by Sanfrecce. Mawatari, you might remember, he was sent off for shoving a ball boy back in March last year, but he also did a lot of good things on the pitch as well last year. So I think good news for them is that Shimaya and Sugimoto, two of the kind of sort of floating forwards, are still there, and Yamazaki, I guess, will be the main striker this term. He's more than capable of scoring goals, I think. Perhaps not as imposing, doesn't occupy defenders mentally as much as Watari, so it'll be interesting to see if they can manage without him. But they've got Cicinho, the diminutive Spanish magician from Gifu. He's joined Tokushima for this year, so and I think Stuart's I don't know if Stuart's banned from contacting him yet, but he loves him so much it's only a matter of time. They've also got one a real Ricardo Rodriguez signing from a new Costa Rican goalkeeper, Carvajal. He's come from Spain, from Albacete. So they probably have a new. He's got the number one shirt, so I assume he'll be taken over as the first choice goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. So Tokushima, probably very smart. They freshened up the team, even though there wasn't much wrong with what they did last year. Obviously, they fell a little bit short, so I'm expecting them. They might dip a little bit, but they've still got a chance of finishing in the top six for me. For Matsumoto Yamaga, in a weird way, I felt a bit like I did with Machida last year. They were just kind of a bit of a letdown, a bit flat. I think the coach, Sorimachi's been there for 7 or 8 years now. I think I might have been tempted to maybe change coach this winter, just to freshen things up a little bit. I think we tend to talk a lot, if you're a Premier League fan, about how coaches are hired and fired too quickly, but I think sometimes we've seen in the J League maybe perhaps it's going the opposite way, and there's maybe too much loyalty from clubs towards managers sometimes.
Indeed.
But the player I want to pick out from Matsumoto is Daizen Maeda. I don't know if his name came up for you last year, because you were perhaps not following the league closely, but he's very young. I think he's only 20 or 21, but he's a sort of very quick striker who was on loan at Mito last year and scored 13 mm-hmm. goals, so he's done well enough to be called back to Matsumoto for this year. I'm expecting, I think it's a big season for him, and I'll be interested to see how he can do, if he can sort of replicate what he did last year at Mito, and he should be able to what's basically a better side. Maybe they'll improve. So I think they've got a good chance. Oita, I don't really fancy. I don't know why, but looking at their ins and outs, they've got a lot of players going out and coming in, but I don't think you could argue that they've strengthened the team probably about the same. So again, we talked a lot about momentum, and it's kind of a cop-out answer, but if they can start well and build confidence, that they might have a chance of going into the top six. But I don't see them as one of the six best teams, to be honest. So I think they'll do very well to displace any of the teams we've already mentioned.
All right, so as we move our way down the table, we will we'll mention different teams here and there. Obviously, three of the big fallers down the table in 2016 come in the next five places in the table. Obviously, Kyoto fell from 5th to 12th last year. Okayama 6th to 13th, and Machida 7th down to 16th. In between those two teams are Mito and Ehime FC, which you would just about expect to see them most seasons. Although Ehime are, of course, just two seasons off a fifth place finish, John. Any of those five sort of pique your interest? Obviously, they were at least, Sanga, Fagiano, and Zelvia were decent enough two seasons ago. Do you think any of those three can recapture some magic and work their way back into the playoff shakeup?
I'm not really convinced, to be honest. I think with Machida, they do, for me, they've got the same problem as Matsumoto, in that they have a coach in Naoki Soma, who's probably just been there too long at this point. I think it's his sixth season in charge now. And I think maybe they just went out of ideas a little bit last year. The player they've signed that I'm interested in is Romero Frank, the sort of mysterious Peruvian midfielder.
Yes, indeed.
Who on his day can be a game changer, but it doesn't seem to be his day very often. So, Naoki Soma is a notoriously defensively minded manager, so it'll be interesting to see if he can, if Romero Frank fits in and is useful. There, but in Machida, I don't know. Actually, Dave and Yanni are going to crucify me, aren't they? I could see them maybe going the other way, maybe struggling more this year.
Well, more than 17 draws, that would absolutely do their head in, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting. They only lost one game more than the season before, but they won like seven fewer, I think. And they just drew seven more games that were wins in 2020.
Yeah, they lost as many games as Chiba, who finished sixth. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So for me, that could go either way, but we'll see. I just wanted to mention, we totally forgot Yokohama FC. I think you just mentioned maybe very briefly that they've still got for this year. So I think they might have an outside tilt at the playoffs as well. They've got Daisuke Matsui, the veteran midfielders, to strengthen them, if that's the right word. I don't know how many games he can play. He's like 37. Yeah. Akira Toshima, famously nicknamed Low Energy Toshima at Machida, he's coming up front. So Yokohama FC, I would pick them as a more likely playoff candidate than any of the teams you asked me about, you know, Okayama.
No, fair enough then. All right, and the five teams who finished above Gunma then, Kanazawa FC, Gifu, obviously if Stuart was here, he could give us more of a post-mortem on the 2017 campaign for the Greens and what they have to look forward to this year. Sanuki, Yamaguchi and Kumamoto, who of course were my Smokies in 2016, then obviously the tragedy of the earthquake completely derailed their season, and obviously football was far from the most important thing in any of those players' lives, let alone the community of Kumamoto. They all did very well, of course. They rallied around the club and finished the season with some credit in 16th. But I'm not sure if it was a bit of a I'm not sure hangover is the right word either, but a bit of a the side effect of all of the effort they put in 2016, John, it was maybe it just got a bit too much for them last season, and they slumped all the way down to second from bottom. But personally, I'll be following them again with interest this year, and hoping that they can at least work their way back up to mid-table. Obviously, the playoffs would be too much to hope for, but I don't know. Yeah, any of those bottom five or six that could possibly shake at least mid table, and maybe with 10 or 12 to go to be in with an outside chance of the playoffs.
It's a hard question to answer because as you mentioned, it tends to get very bunched up around the middle of the table. So if any of these teams gets 8 points more than I think they will, then they'll be in mid table. So. The more likely ones, I don't know. I see that Kumamoto have signed a Yusuke Minagawa.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You might remember him as a common loan from Hiroshima. So if he can, he's not a prolific goal scorer by any means.
Japan international Yusuke Minagawa, John.
It's troubling, isn't it? You wonder sometimes. But if he can get his act together, he might be useful signing. I think at the back, they've probably done better because they brought Yuko Takase in from Omiya, a player that I think Steve will know well, and also Takara, a right back who can play left back, coming from Jeff. I know him, so that's the full back positions. They're probably actually better off for full backs than Jeff are.
Right.
Those two. So they certainly have a fresh look. But no, I don't see Kumamoto doing anything other than sort of bottom third of the table. Again, I'm afraid. I mean, I'd love for them to do better, but I've got to be, we've got to be realistic.
No, fair enough. Perhaps I should have asked you about promoted Tochigi SC then. Maybe they can follow Oita's lead up into the top half of the table. Of course, Tucci ended up second in J3 last season, but yes, the champions Akita were ineligible for promotion. So in the absence of a promotion relegation playoff, which would have been the case in previous years with Tochigi finishing second, that was abolished at the start of the 2017 season. Just two up, two down, and Tochigi were the only J2 licensed club to finish in the promotion places. So they took Gunma's place in J2, and do they look a decent bet to follow Oita's lead, do you think, John?
Yeah, I have to be honest, I scrutinised Tochigi's squad very carefully before recording. I was looking for reasons why they might struggle. I couldn't really find any. I think they'll be absolutely fine. I mean, mid-table seems perfectly possible. They've got a good blend of young players, but also more experienced ones that they've brought in. What I look for when I look at the transfers, by the way, is teams bringing in players that are coming from higher up clubs, if you like. An example would be Robin Simovic. It's an eye-catching move because he's moving from a J1 team to J2. And Tochigi have done a lot of similar things. They've got Masashi Ogoro, who's come on loan from Kyoto again. It's a pain in the arse in the dressing room by all accounts, but I'm likely to grab you a goal or two. In defensive midfield, the anchor is Henick, who's been signed from FC Gifu, again proven J2 performer. Shogo Nishikawa, their centre-back's come on loan from Yokohama FC, proven centre-back at J2. Shinichi Terada's on loan from Yokohama as well in midfield. They've also got Nate Pechnik, formerly of Jeff and Omiya. Again, no question marks about whether he can do it in J2 or not. And I think Johnny Leone, the sort of celebrity Swiss goalkeeper, yep. Tochigi, again, he's played at a much higher level than what he's going to be playing this year. So I don't see why. I'd need some very strong persuasion that Tochigi are going to be any trouble this year. The only reason I would worry is that they had a similarly strong squad the year that they did get relegated. I think nobody's worried about them being relegated at the start of the season, and then they ended up going down. So it could happen, but no, I think there are far more teams that should be far more worried than Tochigi. Such as the aforementioned Saniki, Yamaguchi and Kanazawa probably are the three that should be nervous rather than touching defence.
All right then. Okay, so yes, that's our kind of our look up and down the table from how things finished last year anyway. So I guess, drum roll please, have you got a top six for us, or have you got a loose bunch of teams you think could challenge for the playoffs? How are you going to structure sticking your neck out?
Okay, this is pretty fresh off the top of my head, so I reserve the right to correct it on Twitter.
No worries.
So I think Omiya will be champions, I think, and Fukuoka will join them in glorious triumph in second place. Apologise in advance to fan Navy Blue Wasp. I'm sorry, so it's not my fault. It's the players. Got to blame the players if they can't do it. For the playoffs, yeah, I think Tokushima will be in there this year, and I think Matsumoto Yamaga will be in there as well. I will hedge by saying that one of Kofu and Niigata will be in the top six, but it's too difficult to pick one.
Well, that means you have to pick one of Verdy, Chiba, Yokohama FC, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you're not supposed to talk about your favourite, but everybody secretly has one. I think Verdy have got the best chance of those three.
All right.
Yeah, and I am prepared to be left with egg on my face. It's been the case in the past, but I just think the fact that they've not lost, I expected Verdy's team to be completely gutted and all the young players to be gone. And I was sad to see some leave, but I think they're up and coming, and I think Lottina showed when he came in, it was kind of nobody knew anything about him other than he's got the record for the most relegations from La Liga, I think.
Right.
Something like that. But he impressed me a lot. I mean, Jeff also did well, but when you go to Jeff, you've got all the toys to play with. You know, you've got money for new players. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's easy, but I think doing it at Verdy or Tokushima is maybe a bit more impressive. But we'll see. I've been wrong before, so
Well, no need to admit that, John. I'm going to be a bit boring and follow you. I would have the same top two, although wouldn't surprise me if Fukuoka pipped Omiya to the title. But yes, I would expect those two to be promoted automatically. And I'm kind of trying to come up with a team from mid-table that might be able to, not necessarily do a Nagasaki and get all the way up to second, but, you know, challenge for a playoff spot. I mean, you know, this time last season, we wouldn't have been expecting Verdy to be in the hunt. They finished 18th the season before, and even Chiba 11th up to 6th is a decent leap. I can't really see anybody from last season's Montedio Yamagata down who could do that sort of big leap. Obviously, it's more likely to happen than not, because it does tend to happen every season in J2. But yes, if I was scratching out a top six, I'd have Fukuoka and Omiya. And yeah, I would have to have Kofu and Niigata, and probably Tokushima and Matsumoto, and that would mean Verdy and Chiba just missing out. But yeah, that's a bit boring. There's got to be a team from at least mid-table to make a push, and I can't quite put my finger on it as to who it might be.
No love for Kyoto, Ben. They might be motivated by moving into their brand spanking new stadium next season. That might stimulate them to pull their.
Oh, gee, it might also make them do a kit to Kyushu, John, and have to play their first season in a new stadium down in J3. Sorry, horrible memories for Gurumats Wombat there, but I mean, I don't have any love at all for Kyoto Sanga, John. There are far too many draws to year after year to give them any real praise. But I mean, well, they would probably be the obvious shout, a team from the bottom half after finishing fifth the season before last. But
I will say on Kyoto, we talked very briefly about interesting recruitment or more diverse transfers. They've got two Uruguayan players on the squad this year: defensive midfielder Matias Caceras and striker Renzo Lopez. I mean, if Uruguayans can come in and do the business, then maybe they'll be going places. I don't know. I don't see it myself.
No, fair enough. And terrific pronunciation there, it must be said. As well, John.
Oh, thanks very
mid-season
much.
Form already. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I've been
all right. Well, we
it's all downhill.
sure. We won't put supporters of struggling teams through the grinder of having to listen to us predict them going down to J3. We'll just hope that it's all fair play down in the relegation dogfight, and may that shake out as it will. Throughout the course of the year. All right, so we've stuck our neck out with reserving the right to later completely rescind our predictions and do them all over again. Of course, there are still 2 weeks to go before the season begins, as we record on Sunday the 11th. John, yes, we've battled on manfully, I think, without Stuart. And obviously with Steve's assistance, that was a tremendous to speak to him earlier. But yes, terrific to have you back on the pod. And for new listeners, perhaps, who aren't familiar with your tweetings, where can you be found?
Oh, yeah, it's at J2CantoBytes on Twitter, as usual. I don't tweet as often as I used to, just because of family commitments. But as long as I'm free, I'm tweeting about the J-League. And I think I'm finally going to join DAZN this year. So I shall be tweeting my frustrations with lots of buffering and low-quality picture, just like everybody else. I've been feeling left out. I was left out last year of that hate. Circle jerk of hate, so I'm looking forward to getting
there. Certainly was plenty of that. Yes, for the record, I didn't have any of those troubles myself, but yes, can understand the frustrations of those that did. But yes, DAZN, that's another conversation for another day. But yes, I hope you don't run into any problems with it, John. Yes, you can find John on Twitter at J2CantoBytes, as he mentioned. Steve is on Twitter at AgentOrange2009. And, of course, you can follow along with the podcast at JTalkPod. John, thanks very much for doing this again in Stuart's absence. You're doing double duty, so much appreciated. Terrific to speak to you, and look forward to catching up again periodically as we work our way through what is sure to be another fantastic J2 season.
Yeah, so always a good time, and yeah, it's really, really good to have you back, Ben. I hope Stuart can join me to wear his share of the spandex.
Thanks to John, thanks to Steve, and thank you for listening to the JTalk podcast. Speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
The JTalk podcast. Yes, 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 yes.